darkness, oppression, bondage, silence. Do these words resonate with you? Maybe you're going through a trial in your life right now. Maybe you're coming out of one. Maybe you're about to go into one. But I imagine that sometime in your life, these words have brought some emotions and you felt them. But take heart, church, because He has come, and He has come again. My name is Jimmy Hudson. This is my first time, not only on the Restore stage, but preaching in general. So we need grace, because it might be the shortest sermon you've ever heard, but don't expect that next time I'm up here, okay? I am the youth leader here, and I am an elder in training, and my family and I just moved here in August. We've been restored at Heart for many years, just waiting for God to call, actually just waiting for my wife to get it straight to know we're coming. But we are new here, but we love Restored. We love what Restored is about, and I tell you, this is one of my favorite seasons. I love to give gifts. That's one of my love languages. And I love remembering and thinking about the gift that God gave us in His Son, Jesus. So in front of us here, before we get too deep into our sermon this morning, some of you may have seen one of these before, some of you may not, but this is called an Advent wreath. And the Advent wreath is an amazing example and remembrance for us of what we're trying to remember here during this Advent season. It reminds us of God's eternal love. It's a circle, so it's without beginning and it's without end. You know, we see that in our wedding rings. It reminds us of what the church is supposed to look like, but so does this Advent wreath. We can see there's greenery around it. Green is the color for life. So that green reminds us that there's life that the Messiah brings. You can see there's three purple candles. Purple is the color for royalty. We light the first candle, first purple. We light a candle of purple on the first and second, and then we light a pink one today on the third. Week one, we talked with Steve, covered two last week, but we light the first pink candle in anticipation, as we anticipate the coming Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. We light the second one, the purple one, as we announce the birth of the Savior, just as angel Gabriel did when he announced it to Mary, and how the angels announced it to the shepherds. This week, we light the pink candle. It's also the joy candle. We light it in recognizing the fulfillment of God's promises of our salvation. And that is what we want to talk about today. You'll see there's two other candles there. Maybe Ty, when he comes up next week, can talk about those. But the white one in the middle is the Christ candle. And man, we wait with anticipation for that one, don't we? So as we dig in this morning, we return to those words. There's a song. You guys remember the song, O Come Emmanuel? Yeah, don't worry, I won't sing it. But the one of the verses says this. It says, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. So this could easily have been the song, the cry of God's people, the Israelites, as they were in exile, as they were lonely, they were lost, they were hopeless. They didn't know when their salvation was going to come. They waited in expectation of Christ the Messiah's first coming. As the church, we are also God's people. And we sing a similar song, but our song is one of remembrance because we know that God did send His Son. We know that He came. We know that He brought salvation. But we also wait. We wait with joy, our pink candle today, in remembrance that He also said He's coming again. The first time He sent Him to pay our debts, to bind up the brokenhearted, to shine a light in the darkness, to comfort the mourning, and proclaim freedom to the captive, And again, this is what we do today. We affirm that Jesus came, and we wait patiently with joy for His second coming. So, sometimes joy is hard to see. Sometimes it's hard to see when Jesus is working in our life. Sometimes our circumstances can get in the way. We want to kind of look at the life of John the Baptist today. So our main text is going to be out of Matthew 11. So if you want to look up and open, you can go ahead. We'll be going back and forth with that a little bit and looking at a few other texts. But Matthew 11, 2 through 11 will be our main kind of text we'll build off today. So you can go ahead and turn there. Some of the questions, again, we're looking at today are, what if I don't see God? What if I don't see Jesus working? What if I just don't know Him? What if I don't recognize Him in my life? And when I do, what should my life look like? So the boom for today is when we can truly grasp and live like Jesus came, saved us, and is coming again, our circumstances will no longer dictate our faith, and we will be free to live by the power of the gospel and share it with those around us. So let's look at Matthew 11, 2 through 11. I'm going to read it. Again, the scriptures, most of them aren't up there. My youth can probably tell you that I'm a PowerPoint freak, and I like to throw a lot of scriptures and things up, but I thought we'd keep it a little more simple, and we'd keep it down to 30 or 40 text slides only. So Matthew 11, 2 through 11, if you had a chance to get there, and I'll read it for us. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and what you see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor." I think that's worth a pause, isn't it? Man. "Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed in the wind? If not, what did you go to see? A man dressed in clothes? No. Those who fear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, "I will send my messenger ahead of you. You will prepare your way before you. He will, truly I tell you, among those born of women, there is not one seen risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." So that's what we're going to use that text this morning to kind of answer those questions we brought up. So question one was, have the circumstances of your life caused you to question who Jesus is or blinded you to His work in your life? John the Baptist did. So at the time when he sent his disciples out here, he was in prison. He was chained up. He knew he was probably about to die. And he was about to die because he was speaking truth to Herod. He was out proclaiming Jesus. And he wasn't quite sure what was about to happen. Let's look a little deeper into John's life and understand why this is actually kind of crazy to think that John would actually be questioning who Jesus was. So John was the cousin of Jesus. And when he was in his mother's womb, Mary came to visit, and he leapt with joy in his mother's womb. He knew before he was even born who Jesus was. So we can, if you want to turn to Mark 1, 1 through 8, we're going to look a little more and see who John was and really, again, understand why this was just crazy that he would question. So Mark 1, 1 through 8, if you want to turn there, I'll read it, like I said. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. As it is written, Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And hold Judea and countryside, and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. And this was his message: after me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. We're going to go into verse 9. It says, at that time, Jesus came from the Galilee, and he was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven: you are my Son, whom I love, and whom I am well pleased. At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals and the angels. So who was John? Well, we know he's a little rough around the edges. Ate wild honey and locusts. He wore basically a knapsack around. But he was proclaiming Jesus. He was preparing the way. He actually baptized Jesus and saw the Spirit descend like a dove and heard the words of God say, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased." So, again, crazy. Jesus even said, there is no one greater than John the Baptist. So what can we take away from this right now? So our first point, when those moments of doubt, question, or momentary blindness come, you're not alone. So don't let shame and guilt keep you from moving forward. If John the Baptist could question, are you the Jesus? Then I think it's okay for us to question at times too. But we don't want to stay there. We want to keep moving forward. And we want to keep trying to see Jesus. So our second question is, I have this doubt. How can I overcome it? How can I overcome these moments of doubt, question, and momentary blindness? Well, John did two things. You look at verses 2 and 3. It says he sent his disciples to go ask Jesus a question. We don't have Jesus to go ask, but we have his word. We can dig in, see what he said. We can read about the miracles, the blind receiving the sight, the lame walking, the deaf hearing, and the dead rising up. We can read in John 10 where Jesus says, these miracles that I do, they bear witness of who I am. They bear witness of me being the Savior. We can read words like Luke the physician. He gives us an account of one day Jesus goes to just like this. He goes to a sanctuary. He goes there to worship. And it was custom, like we do sometimes, somebody comes up and reads. Well, today must have been Jesus' day. He must have signed up and he came in, they handed him the scroll. And these are the words he read. This is in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21, if you want to go there. Luke chapter 4, 16 through 21. And so here's what Jesus did, and here's Luke's account of it. And he, Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. And this is what it said: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So I picture this now. This is my point to try to be cool. I picture this as a drop mic moment for Jesus. You know, he dropped it and just walked off. You know, and what happened next is people just stared at him. Like, did he really just say that? Did he really just say he is the anointed one? That he's the one that has come? That he is the one that is performing these miracles? And Jesus' words were this. He says, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. today the kingdom of God has come. Steve talked a little bit last week about this already not yet kingdom that we live in. The kingdom is here because Jesus came. Yes, we wait for the day that Jesus comes back and fully inaugurates his kingdom. But we're living in it now. We have been saved. We have been healed. And this is going to continue until Jesus comes back. So, John went to Jesus. We've got his word. If you're starting to doubt, if you have questions, if you're not sure what Jesus is doing in your life, dig in. Open his book. Read it. It's there. But the other thing he did is he asked his disciples to go. He asked other believers to help him see past his circumstances. And they went. And this is what Jesus told them. He says, go back and tell John what you see. Go back and tell John what you see. Today, God has given us the church. He's given us other believers around us to help tell us what they see, to help tell us where they see Jesus in our life, where they see Jesus working, to help share the testimony. Hebrews 12 says this. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and now is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. This whole chapter before this, in Hebrews 11, talks about the heroes of faith that we've had. Isaiah, Noah, Moses. But in this church, in the body of Christ, we have heroes of faith. One of the things I love about Restored is their commitment to testimony. We occasionally, pretty often, have testimony services. We had one just before we moved to the new building. And we are so encouraged to hear the testimony of what Jesus has done in other people's lives. He's taking you through that for a reason. He's using your testimony to help others. So sometimes I can't see past my circumstances, but through somebody else sharing their testimony with me, I can begin to see. The circumstances begin to go away. So what do we take away from this? When doubt, question, and momentary blindness come, stand firm. Stand firm on the words of Jesus. He did come to save you. He's coming again. Ask other believers to help you see what he's doing. Help them, ask them to help you take down the blinders. What do you see in my life? Where is God working in your life? Help encourage me. All right, so for once I was blind, but now I see. Now what do I do? Circumstances are gone. I've pushed through it. Somebody has helped me. I've looked at Jesus' words. What next? So, 1 John, he couldn't go. His circumstances had him stuck where he was. He was in prison. He couldn't get to Jesus. The disciples had to go for him, and they had to come back. They testified to him. We don't know if John, we don't know his reaction. I would imagine, though, that it was pretty joyous when he heard from his disciples that Jesus said, look at all the things that I've done. They testified to him what he saw of Jesus. This guy that he was called to prepare the way. He was called to proclaim Jesus. He baptized Jesus, and he got to hear that, yes, he is the Jesus. I can only imagine the joy, even in the midst of pain, that he felt. So, what do? We go. Once our eyes are opened, once our doubt is gone, we go. Most of you are probably familiar with Jesus' words in Matthew 28. It says, this one is up here, obviously. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So maybe you're past your circumstance doubt, but you still doubt the fact that you can do this. Can you go? Can you testify about what God's done in your life? Can you share about Jesus with others? Jesus says you can. His last words to the disciples of John before they went to tell him was this. Again, yet the one who is least in the kingdom is greater than he. In John 12, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. It's crazy to think how John the Baptist, the guy that was called to prepare the way, and Jesus, how can I do things greater than them? Well, like Jesus said, when he left, he was going to send somebody to us. They've gone, we're still here. The only way that we can do these things is first because Jesus came, he died, and he rose again. And then when he left, he sent us the Holy Spirit. So it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can do these things. So I don't have to do it on my own. It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit in me that works. So that doubt should be gone. You've been called to go, and you have the power within you to do it. So that's our next step, is to go. So our takeaway from this is when doubt, question, and momentary blindness are overcome, the next step is to go. So what are some ways that you can do this? How can you go here? One of the ways we did it here is we purchased refugee gifts. I don't know if those are all taken. I know today's the last day, but if you haven't done that yet and you can, then help fill that out. Help share the love of Jesus with those refugees that we are reaching out to as a church. If you're not being discipled, get into a discipleship relationship. If you're not discipling somebody and you're ready, find somebody to disciple. If you're not serving, jump in, serve. Those are all ways within this building. There's many others outside. Simple way to do it is pray. You have neighbors all around you. Go home every day and pray for your neighbors. Pray for God to open doors to talk to those neighbors. One of the things we're doing here at Restored is house churches. This is a great opportunity to bring them into your house church. Pray for them. Let God open the doors. Pray, and when He does it, walk through and talk to that neighbor. It's funny. Over there worshiping today, and this was not part of my sermon. This will be hard to get through. This is the first Christmas without my dad. My dad, several months ago, almost a year ago, had to have his leg amputated. My dad was not a believer. Let me get a drink. My dad was not a believer, at least at that time. My dad had seen our family go on mission trips. My dad had heard testimony. He'd sat in a chair similar to this and heard of us testify of the greatness of God and what He did in places like Kentucky and Africa and those things. And he was so proud of me. It's great. I'm proud of you. But he just never would hear God's call in his life. He would never respond. So he had his leg amputated, and he spent the rest of his life fighting to get out of the hospital, fighting to get out of a retirement home. He never did. But we continued to pray. You know, we shared. I'd given him a Bible years ago, and he wouldn't take it. And But when all this started, he actually took the Bible and agreed to read it and talk about it. So the doors started opening. Continued to pray. And then a family member got a phone call. He'd been praying for my dad too. And my dad called and said, "Hey, I think you'd come up here and talk to me." And he did. And he shared Christ with them. And he shared some testimony and what God had done in his life. And I don't know to this day if he truly accepted Christ. But man, at least there's hope. My dad did not get out of his circumstances. John did not get out of his circumstances. That does not take away our joy. Our joy comes from Jesus and Him only. So when I'm in that circumstance and it doesn't look like it's going away, and maybe a little doubt starts to come in, is Jesus really who He said He was? Did He really come to save me? Am I really savable? Can I really get out of this problem, this addiction, this money, this self-doubt? Whatever it is, this is what we do. We worship. We press in. We get into God's Word. We seek comfort from other believers. And we trust that Jesus is enough. And that someday, the suffering will end. Strong, one of the big verses for restored, and I love it, 1 Peter 5:10. It says, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of grace, who has called you to His eternal glory, in Christ will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." So guys, today, as we're in this Advent season, as we affirm the fact that Jesus did come, as we affirm that He died on that cross, He rose again, He's at the right hand of God waiting to come back for us someday, I want us to remember, I'll remember myself included, is we got to keep looking for ways to overcome the doubt. We got to keep digging in. We got to keep seeking out. We got to keep going to other believers. We got to put feet to our faith. We got to go. We got to tell of this wonderful Savior that we celebrate today and we wait for. This baby that came and sacrificed His life that we may have that relationship with the Father. That's all I got today, guys. So, thank you. Yeah, I guess I should pray. Let's pray, and then the worship team will come back up. So God, we come before You, and just so thankful that You sent Your Son Jesus to this earth, that You fulfilled the prophecy and the promise that You gave so many years ago, that we can stand in the midst of circumstances that don't seem ideal, God, but we can have joy because Jesus came, that we can look to the Savior and have joy. God, for those of us that don't feel that joy right now, God, would You just wrap Your arms around them, love them, put somebody with them. If you feel that call, go to them. Go pray for them. Go love on them. If you need it, ask for it. So God, we give You all praise, honor, and glory today. And again, we just thank You for Your Son. Amen.